Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's Friday, March 15th. It's still technically morning on the West Coast, and even where Isabel is, Colorado, right? Yes. Still there?
Still, yeah. Oh, no, actually, I'm in Wyoming, technically, right now. Just across the border.
Bike racing trip?
No, just going to see some friends. Some of my ultra friends.
Just the trip. Nice. Okay, good.
Your ultra friends. All right,
anyway, so it is morning somewhere in the country. So I guess technically a morning show still. We've done the plant-based morning show in the afternoon just a few times when we've had the delay. But we figured we've been trying different things in this time slot. No Meat Athlete Radio, different formats. So we just figured we'd try a plant-based morning show since the actual plant-based morning show has been really cranking recently. So hopefully we'll get some people to show up here and join us live for this afternoon show so we can get some feedback on how they like the format. But anyway, the difference, of course, from the usual morning show is that we've got Isabel today. We have three hosts. Probably, other than having guests on, this might be the first, like, three-host morning show. Is that accurate?
Hosts? Yes. We've had guests before, of course.
Of course, yeah. Okay. Well, Bianca's here. That's good. I always like to provide content that Bianca can consume live because she can't usually make normal morning shows, but Friday she can.
It's all for Bianca.
Yeah, this whole thing is for Bianca. many other people have been asking for a Friday show forever, so hopefully they will become aware. It might help if we tell them on the actual morning show that we do this show on Fridays, that we were doing this. But anyway, since it's usually No Meat Athlete Radio time, we'll try to focus a little bit more on fitness. Maybe there's not a whole lot of fitness news the way there's always plant-based news. But Isabel, you have just shared with me before the show that it's time for a big, massive public declaration of a goal. You said you decided on your 50 miler. So what's the news? What is it?
I decided on it's kind of local to Colorado. Now naturally I can't remember the name of it.
What a terrible announcement.
I know. I think it's the Five Feathers Ultra. It's a whole like you can do like the whole 3-day weekend. So they do the 50 miler on Friday and then it's a 50K and then I think it's some like more family friendly stuff. So like a 5 miler and a 1 miler. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but it's got good aid stations, which is rare for a trail ultra. And since I have a little guy still that I am nursing, I have to have access to him. So I can't be gone for, 8 hours at a time from him. So it's a good one. It's a good one for
when you say good aid stations, you mean like frequent aid stations?
Frequent aid. Yeah, I shouldn't say good aid stations. That's always a question mark. But frequent aid stations that crew can actually be at versus, being gone for hours and hours without.
Did I hear correctly? You will actually be nursing during the 50-mile race? Wow. Yeah,
for sure.
You did that during the 50K, right? Last year?
I did it during the 50K. I did it during the marathon that I ran most recently. The marathon that I did, my son was only like 5 months old. And so I think two or three times along the route, I walked while nursing.
Oh, you do keep walking. Okay.
I'm worried. During the 50K that I did 2 years ago, I sat during that one because I had gone through like 15 miles already and that was a lot. But
Lazy.
I want to keep going. I want to keep moving.
Yeah, and beware of the chair, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for you.
That's
awesome.
Cool.
Bianca says 16 aid stations is almost too many at a 50 miler.
That is a lot.
Can you have too many aid stations? I guess you could. The temptation to stop.
You're wasting way too much time.
Yeah. The most successful.
You don't have to stop at them. No one's making you stop.
They're so tempting though. And the most successful people, like Courtney DeWalter, she spends like 2 minutes in the aid stations, if that. She just cruises through them.
Mm-hmm. I think I would like that. Because I like that mental, like, get to the next aid station thing in your head. And when it's like 8 miles away, that's daunting sometimes when you're over halfway done. So I like the next every 3 miles, a little pit stop. Or just to see it. Feel like you hit the goal. Well, good. That's exciting. When is the date, did you say?
Naturally, I don't actually know the date. I think it's like the first weekend in August or the second weekend in August.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Very good. Are you going to be using the Rock Creek Runner resources to train?
You know it. I've asked Doug training questions and he's so unhelpful for me. Probably because I'm not.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Wow, look at that.
Like, you know, to each their own. I'm just kidding, Doug. I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I've gotten to the point now where because I still get a lot of like ultra questions, especially from friends and stuff. And you know, it's hard when you're coaching somebody, you know, you're with them, you know how they're training, you know what everything's like, you're kind of in there with them day to day. But when someone comes up and is like, what should I do? You know, it's kind of hard to answer that because you can't really have a full picture of what someone has been doing or their injury history or, you know, all their goals and stuff like that. And so, I don't know. Now I'm just kind of like, yeah, do what you want to do, you know.
See what I mean? Super unhelpful.
Yeah, it's very unhelpful. It's a very mindful sort of approach, but very unhelpful.
Yeah.
Is it, I know, like, you know, there's always races like Disney does the goofy challenge where you do the marathon and the half on the same weekend. I don't really know that much about ultras doing that. With a 50K and a 50 miler. Is that something people are into now? I guess always try to do something bigger, right? So
I don't know. I don't know if it's super common to do, but I have seen a couple where they, if they have it on separate days, mm-hmm. So if they do like a Saturday, Sunday or a Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, you can do the challenge. I was really tempted. I was like, do I think I should run a 50K before my first 50 mile? Probably not. But I was tempted.
It's all, I mean, I'm not even gonna say it. No, I'm gonna take it back. Oh. No, I'm gonna say it. You know, whatever. It's like those weekend events are great, you know, because they can offer multiple race distances to attract more people. But then a lot of race directors will add the challenge or whatever to do all of them and you get an extra award. But basically they're just trying to, you know, tempt you to pay a little bit more to do both things, which, you know,
it's tempting. Yeah,
it is, you know, the promise of another medal that you're going to hang on the wall.
You think a 50K followed by a 50 miler would be significantly easier than 100 miles all at once?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Haven't done the 100 miler, obviously, but yeah, I think so for sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that. It seems really? To me like if you had to do a 50K and you get, you know, and 50K is no small effort, mm-hmm. especially if it's hilly. And then you can't just keep going to come back like on sore muscles and.
No, you're 100% wrong. The amount, really? The exhaustion, the sleep deprivation,
the
total fatigue, the, you know, running through the night, like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., like that's just so hard. That is so hard. And you'd be able to skip all that.
I can imagine getting, but see, to me, it takes the same amount of mental hype up to like begin a 100 miler as it does to begin a 50 miler. Either way, it's like, I'm only running for the foreseeable future. And that's really hard for me to handle. So if I had to do that with already 30 miles run the day before and I'm sore and that just seems like I wouldn't even get to the start line. I'd say I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're wrong.
Yes, I agree. I think you're wrong.
All right.
I think it would be easier to get fair to enough. The start line because you're like, I did that already. So like now I just got to go a little bit further. It's fine. Mm.
Yeah.
I would say I would the easiest would be a 50 mile first and then a 30.
That'd be easier.
That might be how this one is set up. Regardless, probably not a good idea for my first time. But now I'm thinking about it. See, now Doug's tempting me. Now I want
to. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, hello to Stephen Dunn, who showed up for the St. Patrick's Day show. I suppose he probably listened by now to my what would we call that? Whatever I did against Irish people a few days ago.
Racism, maybe.
No, it's against the American interpretation of people who say, "Oh, I'm Irish today," and then because they're 5% Irish, they just act like they're just the proudest people in the world. No, I love Steven and I love the Irish people. Love Marty McFly and Back to the Future 3 when Marty McFly goes back in time and he's mm-hmm. what's that guy's name? Seamus McFly. I don't know.
Seamus McFly.
But I do love that character. And I like the Irish accent. It's one of my favorite of those that style of accents. So there you go. And Britters is here. She chose us over a Tigers game, which I think is spring training. So that's not really saying.
Yeah, anymore. I know. Anne Marie says that's dedication, British. But you know, I mean, spring training. Come on, preseason games. No, that's
true.
We're better than that. Those games don't even matter.
Really, I mean, yeah, they don't. It's just not. It's almost. I mean, I think it's a very charming thing to go to spring training, but it's just not a real baseball you would listen to on the radio. Emery likes her baseball. I knew that about Emery. She's a baseball fan. Steven, look, I am united with the Irish people. In Matt's defense, we hate that too. So there you go.
You should hate it too, Steven. You have every right to.
What does St. Patrick's Day look like in Ireland? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Do people dress all in green?
Probably don't do
anything. And shamrocks and make Guinness leprechaun thing. Traps. Do kids make leprechaun traps like my daughter's doing in her school right now? And yeah,
my daughter got scared of leprechauns in kindergarten. Somehow the teacher convinced her enough about leprechauns that she was afraid of them. Like it was this thing where it was like Tooth Fairy and Elf on the Shelf and Switch Witch and all that stuff were these magical characters, and somehow leprechauns
terrified,
afraid of, and thought it was real. Yeah, so we put an end to that immediately. We said it's false. All right, so there you go. There's some introductory content for you. Just like the morning show, I prepared a weather report. It's pretty short today. There's not a whole lot. And I don't know, maybe Fridays are slow days for this kind of stuff. And maybe that's why we stopped doing Friday morning shows. I don't know. But I do have the music today. So let's be happy about that. World Meatless Day is coming up. If you thought St. Patrick's Day was a big deal, World Meatless Day is only 3 days later, March 20th. And Pro Veg is on the 7th edition of Semana Sin Carne, Doug. That means no meat, a week without meat. Meat-free week would be a better, maybe snappier way to say it in English. 7-day challenge. And if you're in Spain, you can do it. So nice. There you go. Oh, I didn't say it was in Spain. It's a Spanish thing, I think. I don't think it's just like a do this Spanish name for meat-free week anywhere in the world.
No.
Wait, but meat-free week is an international
The day is the 20th, but then they celebrate the week. I don't know if it starts on that day or does it start you know why I got this Spanish thing? You know why this came up in my research? Because I have a Spanish VPN set up right now.
So everything pops up for him. That's my daughter's birthday. It's a good day.
Great. Did we freeze Matt?
I think so. It's because he's trying really to connect to the VPN. I thought so too. It's probably because his Spanish VPN is trying to connect to Spain right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, my daughter's birthday is apparently first World Meatless Day.
All right.
She is vegan, so that's pretty cool. Oh, we lost him completely. He's gone.
All right, let me bring him back in. Hey,
here I am. You know what I did? Did you hear me say the thing about the VPN?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, did you switch back to the US?
I changed it as I was talking, and then of course that will interrupt the thing.
Terrible idea.
I wanted to try to clamor together another cobble together another weather report that's actually relevant to Americans. But I'm not. There's no time.
I like the Spanish one. It's fine.
Is that why all the news that we get from the weather reports is European? And
yeah,
you're like, man, a lot of great things are happening in Europe right now, but not much in the US.
It does. When you type in vegan news, or whatever, it does change dramatically whether you're in, say, you're from Australia or Spain or whatever. It definitely gets adapted to you. All right, now we know. Won't do that again. But there is more news that isn't just Spanish. This one is from Revo Foods, Austrian startup, and they've made, I'm sure Isabel's just going to be thrilled about this, plant-based octopus tentacles with fungi protein. It's microprotein, and they look just like octopus tentacles, at least the way I would believe octopus tentacles look. Doug, can you pull up the picture on there?
Yes, I did not prep that. Give me just a second.
Okay. Well, they're made out of microprotein. It's called the Kraken. What does Kraken mean? Does anybody know?
It's a mythical sea monster.
Okay. I keep seeing
with
the term
lots
now.
Of tentacles. At least I think so. What? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I see the term Kraken all the time. And there's a hockey team named after them in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's like suddenly this thing in the culture that I just didn't really know why people were calling it that. So yeah, so there you go. That's why we're calling it Kraken. So yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, it looks like a real octopus tentacle.
Looks really rubbery. Weird.
They obviously manufactured it so it looks like a toy. Octopus. It doesn't.
Yeah, they put it in a mold, probably. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would eat that.
I would too. I'm really excited about this.
I would dip that in some butter.
Are you guys serious?
Vegan butter?
Or are you guys kidding me?
No.
No. I would totally eat that.
You've eaten octopus other times in your life?
I have.
Calamari. Yeah. Is that the same thing or is that squid?
That's
squid. It's definitely different than that, but I don't know if it's squid or what.
I don't know. Is calamari octopus?
See, I think now I don't know.
I think it's squid.
Obviously, I haven't had it in a very long time, but I did. I remember liking calamari, probably because it was like battered and fried, though.
Yeah, but octopus is different from calamari.
That's true. I don't know if I've had octopus.
I only had it one time, and it was sushi. So it was, I think it was raw. And this was, of course, 2003 or something when I was not close to vegan or vegetarian. And I hated it. I thought it was terrible. But, you know, it was a sushi situation, so who knows?
I mean, that looks like a toy, honestly. Like, it looks
like a chew toy, like for
real. You think that looks like too fake to even pass through the thing? That's like, definitely. It looks so idealized that it's like looks like a toy.
Okay. Probably what it really looks like, but it just looks like a chew toy. I mean, it looks like something that a kid would play with.
Play with in the bath. I would try it. I would try it. I probably wouldn't be like buying this on the regular.
I would just munch on that thing.
Okay, well, this is 3D printed. It is not from a mold, Doug. 3D printed. Higher effort than that. It's microprotein, so that's you know, it may be healthier than a Beyond Burger. Who knows if microprotein is in fact healthier? But that's the stuff that corn is based on, QURN, and these meaty steaks are made from that as well. So I don't know, not the most unhealthy meat product in the world. I don't know. I wish we got these kind of things. Like I think it would be fun. This doesn't seem all that appetizing to look at. But I would just enjoy like making, like here's another Spain tie-in. There's something called pulpa a la Gallego. And I think it's in this article even, that's from like the Galicia, the northwest part of Spain. And I've always thought like, that would be so cool to like try that dish, but you can't get your vegan. So now like at home, I could make that thing if I had this and it would be good. I don't know. I hate that you can't taste the local thing. Mm-hmm. Unless you're there, you can probably get a vegan version, but I don't know.
There you go. Steven says the suckers. What do you say? Yeah. Suckers really gross me out. Even the plant-based version.
I'm with you, Steven.
No, I mean it looks so fake to me that it doesn't gross me out at all. Like it looks so much like a toy.
When I used to eat calamari, I wouldn't. You know how some pieces would come out in the rings, the fried rings, and then there'd always be that one piece or two in the tray that was like all the tentacles in one, and it was just all the stringy stuff. I never would eat that. It just seemed so gross to me. Mm. Bianca says Sophie's Kitchen makes vegan calamari.
Huh.
Somebody... I've had calamari made with cognac before. Cognac. It was excellent.
You say cognac?
It's K-O-N.
Oh. J-A-C-A-C. I was like, that, I'm pretty sure that's a liquor, so I don't think it's.
Yeah, no, it's probably pronounced cognac, but it's K-O-N-J-A-C, and it's a root, and it makes a really good vegan calamari with that. Hmm.
That sounds good. We should do a live taste test one of these times. I'll get it.
I've been pushing for live taste tests, and Matt never seems interested in it. I think because listening to somebody eat is kind of good.
And watching Doug, you can put all these chips on top of it or whatever it is you do with the food, and you get all the flavors and all the sauces. I just can't, even aside from the fact you doing that, it's just hard for me to imagine us eating something.
Just sitting and eating. That's fish.
Talking like as we're eating. Anyway, even says besides,
then you think of the hot ones, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole show though that is that idea. So
I know, but people just listen to you watch you eat, and millions of people watch you eat these wings that are even grosser than
funny. That's the whole point of the show. It's funny to see well-known people doing that.
Mm-hmm. Just saying. maybe we could be the hot ones of vegan octopus. You know,
that's what you do. Done. All right, Steven says Poseidon sea monster in ancient Greece. That's the Kraken. So there you go. I like Greek mythology, the little bit I know of it, but I didn't know that one. All right, so there you go. There's your weather report. Short and sweet today. Not too much. And it was a Spanish edition.
I'm glad we learned this now. You can move to U.S. edition.
There's probably like crazy, amazing good news happening today in the vegan world that I totally missed. Okay, so anyway, here's the one I found. This is the negative one, and then we'll get to some more fun. Dailymail.co.uk, they're not fans of veganism ever, and they've published this new article. It says, Harvard doctor says animal products are essential for mental health in a blow to veganism. The brain needs meat, she says. This is Dr. Georgia Ede, E-D-E, a Harvard-trained nutritional and metabolic psychiatrist. Okay, so I guess if you're a psychiatrist, you know about mental health. And metabolic means, so she's qualified to talk about this, I guess. She says this health halo that vegan diets have gotten over the past few years is not good. She said the protein's not the problem. You can get protein through a vegan and vegetarian diet if you plan it carefully. But many of the other essential nutrients are much more difficult, if not in some cases impossible, to obtain from plants. And she's talking about vitamin B12, omega-3 fatty acids. Can we make a... Oh, here. Let's do this thing. Where is my Mario's? Okay, ready? If it's in complement, vitamin B12, omega-3 fatty acids, zinc, don't have choline, skipping that. Wah, wah. Iron. I have that too.
Oh, no, iron's not.
Iron's not.
Iron, we don't, but we've done the extra iron add-on bonus.
That's true.
Yep.
Right? That's true. So I'm going to give us the Mario coin sign for that. And iodine. So there you go. Only failure was choline. But I think choline, how important can it be, right?
Yeah, I mean, so the headline here is meat, or your brain needs meat. Is that what the quote is? The brain needs meat. That's not true. The brain needs nutrients, and you can get those nutrients through other things, including iron, including choline. I don't know where choline comes from. Maybe Matt, you know, but iron, you know, of course, leafy greens. There's plenty of ways to get iron through plant foods. And then all the other stuff is in complement essential, you know, so that's great.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're right. They're right. It's not simple to get those from foods, but that is literally why we invented the complement company and product, was to provide that in one source. So there you go. That's our sponsor tie-in for the show. Not intentional or anything like that, but you got to say it. These people who quit vegan diets because they can't get the nutrients they need. I mean, if you truly can't and you try, fine. But I just don't think that's usually the case if you haven't really tried.
All right, I got a question for you, Matt.
Okay.
And as well, this might be sorry, but I have a feeling that Matt's going to have a strong opinion. That's why I said him.
Oh.
What's your take on a headline that says Harvard doctor says animal products are blank blank blank? Harvard doctor, right? Is a doctor, of course. You are a doctor. You can call yourself a doctor, but in this case, Harvard doctor makes me think medical doctor, right? And I think that's what they're probably trying to imply here, or trying to get most people to think of, and not a PhD. What's your take on using the word doctor in a headline like that?
Isabel, you go first.
I think this whole headline in general, I think it is meant to cause kind of vehement reactions. Like, you're either going to be really excited about this because you don't like veganism, or you're going to be really against it because you are interested in plant-based. Like, I think this 100% is a headline and an article in general that is meant to be like divisive.
100%. Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, especially when it's about vegan stuff, that's what this publication does. I was thinking that, like, culturally, Stephen maybe knows about this. I think there's some cultures where even the MD degree is like, not an MD, it's a PhD. Like, the MD equivalent is the same as all the other, you know, whatever they are, 8-year degrees. I've read that before. So I'm not sure about that difference with British culture. I really don't know. But I'm okay with it. Yeah, it's a little bit stretching. I mean, it's not stretching. It's set up as if you assume they're talking about a medical doctor. So yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, they're doctors. You get the doctor title when you're a PhD.
Yeah,
I mean, metabolic psychiatrist talking about mental health, like, that makes sense. That checks out.
You're saying, Doug, that metabolic psychiatrist isn't real, isn't a real major?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm not saying that she's not qualified to talk about it. I'm just saying that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would rather have. I'd rather say expert or metabolic expert or psychologist or psychiatrist.
Rather, well, I'd rather there not be quick clickbait in the world too, and there is. It's just how it goes.
Oh, I mean, we love clickbait. You're talking about
it. Just edited an email.
There was something that I wrote today that went out to compliment that you told me to make more clickbait. So
the thing about Dr. Greger said dairy is worse than soda, and Doug spoiled the whole thing in the article. I said, Doug, don't let him know it is. Make him keep the hype. He thinks soda is worse than dairy. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so there's that one. On to the main event, which is St. Patty's Day recipes. We've been talking about it all week. Well, somehow. We've been talking about it all week on the morning show and never really got to any recipes. Stephen gave us a few examples. But Veg News has an article. This is not a new one. I last updated last year. And They've got a few on here though. And Rusty, so it's at Veg News. The headline, if you want to Google it, is "Celebrate St. Patrick's Day with these 7 hearty Irish recipes." And here we go. Some of Stephen's were here. First of all, vegan corned beef.
I'm intrigued by this.
Should I put this up? What do you think?
Yeah, you can put it up. These are good pictures.
Yeah.
People may not want to hear this. I always loved corned beef when I was a kid. I thought that was like the best of the meats. Like,
what is corned beef?
I have no idea what it is. I don't know what corned means. I don't know what is. It was just this reddish thing, and it had a better flavor, and it tore off like in shreds, and it was just good. I don't know. It was like my favorite one. So I would totally eat a vegan corned beef thing, and there's a chance I will actually do this. They suggest tofu in this recipe, but you can also opt for seitan. I would think that would be even better. Jackfruit would not do personally. But there you go. That's sounds like that. So Stephen, let us know if corned beef is a legit thing.
It is.
Even does it spice?
It's salted beef basically. I just looked it up.
Okay, that's where I liked it. I like salt.
Because there's a ton of salt in it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that.
Were you going to make your own seitan, Matt?
No, probably not. Because Erin goes on a trip on Sunday morning. And she's the big Irish person who sort of thumps the drum for that on things Patsy Magic Day. So I probably won't be doing that. Number 2, vegan Irish soda bread. She does usually make this every single year, and I always enjoy it. I think it has some raisins in it. Had soda, not the kind Dr. Gregor baking says soda is healthier than dairy, but you know, soda water.
Or baking soda. Oh, that's funny. Oh, isn't there like such a thing as Coke bread or something like that? Coke cake?
You know what? Maybe it's not soda water. Maybe it's soda baking soda. No,
it's baking soda. Yeah. I make vegan soda bread often. It's delicious.
Oh, you're a bread maker.
Yes.
Doug, what was your question?
Isn't there such a thing as like Coke cake or Coke?
If you do, I think it's a can of Sprite and like a cake mix, I think.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know if, I'm assuming Coke would do the same, but that was a thing, I think, a couple years ago.
That's right. I always thought that's what this was. It was soda bread. That's funny.
Some soda in there.
Wow. Interesting.
Soda bread, all right. Delicious.
All right, that's soda bread. I'm approving of that one. Traditional vegan Irish coal cannon. I think this was one of Stephen's recommendations yesterday when he said what the actual traditional things are. And the article here from Tanya, our friend at Veg News, says, think of coal cannon as Irish mashed potatoes. But what makes it Irish? Oh, it has cabbage in it. Okay. I mean, isn't potatoes already Irish? Like, isn't that the most Irish food there is? Like, why do you think of Irish mashed potatoes? I thought it already was Irish.
Because cabbage is also the most Irish thing.
Cabbage is also Irish. Kale, herbs, and plenty of vegan butter. I highly doubt kale is in the traditional version of Irish coal cannon. Stephen can tell us otherwise. I keep saying Stephen can do this, but he's here. He's telling us stuff. Okay.
Tell us everything, Stephen.
Yeah. And so, okay, I don't know. I mean, if you were making a big dinner, why not? But
yeah,
I don't know. Do people do like big St. Patrick's Day celebratory feasts, or they just go out and drink Guinness?
I'm sure somebody does. Yeah, if you're sure. Truly Irish.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I know for sure. Katie's, my wife's mom, has people over for a big St. Patrick's Day dinner.
I mean, is this what food Irish people just eat all the time? That's what I want to know, Stephen. Or is this St. Patrick's Day like old throwback food? Or is this like if you go home to visit your parents in Ireland, this is kind of what they're eating because this is what they always eat?
Yeah, I don't know. Great question. Bianca calls you out, Matt. Yeah. Maybe unintentionally. I love the kale coal cannon in the anime cookbook. Did you know that that was in there?
No, I mean, Bianca knows that book better than I do, for sure. I didn't develop most of the recipes. I did a few, but mostly I worked with Stephanie on that and I oversaw things and I, you know, tested lots of things. I don't think I tested that one, though.
Stephen says it was cabbage, not kale, originally, but it was a way of stretching the family's supply of sprouts.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I thought the potatoes sort of stretched other things because they're potatoes, but
they both stretch. They stretch it together.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen says some old country people still only eat this way, but most of us cook them only on St. Patrick's Day. Okay, that's good to know.
Historic then.
Very nice. All right. Good. Let's go to the next here. Okay. Nope, don't have it.
Dublin coddle with vegan Irish sausage.
I think Steven said coddle as well.
Potatoes and sausage, yum.
That's what it looks like.
Is that potatoes what that is? Is there anything other than potatoes like and sausage?
Well, vegetable broth, beer for a hearty main. Mm. It's so bland, this food.
This sounds delicious to me, so I don't know what you're talking
about. No, all this stuff sounds delicious.
I would make this, Well, when you back in the day in Ireland, you had potatoes and things from your garden, so.
Yeah. I'm not hating on it. It's all right.
You're kind of hating on it.
A little bit.
I just can't imagine making a whole feast. It sounds like Thanksgiving, but blander. And Thanksgiving's already kind of bland. All right, up next. Number five, vegan Irish barm brack.
Mm.
What is that?
This
that
looks delicious.
Different.
Oh, it's like a soda bread.
Soda bread. Oh, soda bread. Never
mind. Sorry. Is it like every a time I see soda.
It's black tea infused, fruit-studded quick bread.
Yeah.
And heavenly with a spot of strong breakfast tea. That sounds good. Tea and cake and bread. That sounds good to me. And then finally, number six. No, not finally. Almost number six. Almost finally. Rustic vegan Irish stew with orange gremolata. That doesn't sound like an Irish thing. Gremolata.
What is gremolata?
I have no idea.
Somebody tell me.
A drizzle?
They don't tell you here. Mm. All right. And number seven, buttered new potatoes. No recipe needed. Simply boil the new potatoes, tiny ones in unsalted water, drain them off, slather in vegan butter and salt. I mean, that's bland but good.
It's not bland. That's delicious.
Do you guys ever do salt potatoes? I think that's an upstate New York thing.
What's it called? Salt potatoes? Salt potatoes.
Like a salt?
Basically, you get it comes in a bag, it's basically just potatoes and salt, but an enormous amount of salt that you're putting in during the boil. Mm-hmm. And it absorbs into the potatoes, and you don't need to add more salt or anything like that. It's just very, very good.
Hmm.
That sounds delicious. I love potatoes, so anything potato. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
here's the just so everybody knows I'm not crazy.
Okay.
this is Coca-Cola cake.
Oh.
Which is not an Irish thing at all.
Not in any way.
But I think you take a cake mix and you add Coca-Cola, and that makes it rise and do all the like fluffy things.
And adds a lot of sugar.
I mean, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it makes it like super moist. Yeah, I think it's good. Or I know it's good.
I'm sure it's good.
Steven's throwing a little Spanish in here. I believe this means wrinkled potatoes, patatas arrugadas. What is it? That's the
salt potatoes? Traditional recipe called wrinkled potatoes served with hot sauce, just accidentally vegan. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Stephen. That sounds delicious too.
Potatoes. That's Canary Islands. That is not Ireland. Hmm. Like it. Very good. Bianca's made a cake with Dr. Pepper before. Very solid.
Yeah. There you go.
That sounds good.
So are any of y'all doing any of these things?
Making soda cake? Or any of these Irish recipes?
No, making any of the. Are you going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day at all?
We are not Irish at all, so we don't have much connection.
Caputo's not Irish?
No. That's very Italian. Very, very Italian. These are like dishes that I would make on like just a normal day. Potatoes and sausage, I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of these breads, delicious. So nothing for our household. How about you guys?
I'm going to forward this list to Erin and see if she wants to do anything on Saturday before she leaves. It seems okay.
I bought some Guinness.
Oh, yeah?
Yesterday.
Alcohol-free?
No. Full alcohol Guinness.
Nice.
And some potatoes at the store the other day. And so I think... that, and I happen to have some sausage, so maybe the potatoes and sausage. I didn't have a plan for the potatoes. I just knew I was going to cook up some potatoes. So maybe that potato sausage and Guinness dish. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for it.
Very nice.
Okay. I did get some alcohol-removed beer. Trying that for the first time. And they have a dark brew that we're trying.
Oh, yeah.
What's the brand?
Athletic Brewing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a, big.
What, you know what name, which one it is?
The beer that we got? It's the All Out Dark Brew.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
we'll keep you posted trying it out.
Isabel, the non-alcohol Guinness is excellent in my opinion.
That exists. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So you're a non-drinker. You've been sober for, I think you said 7 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you will drink an occasional non-alcoholic beer. Like you'll still want that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something that we would do often, but, I still like, I'm sober in the case of like, I don't have a problem with alcohol. So, that piece is okay with, my lifestyle. So I like the alcohol removed wines cause they still taste good. I like the taste of wine and I don't know about the beer. We'll see. It's been a long time since I've had an actual beer. So in my head, I remember liking it.
Yeah. I found with any alcohols, if you take a long time off of drinking and then you come back to them, they just don't taste very good. Like it's like an acquired taste that just goes away when you don't exercise it. I wonder how many people are like that, but I just sort of assumed that if you were someone who hadn't drank really in years, that like you just wouldn't be interested in non-alcoholic wine, non-alcoholic beer or any of that. It just would be like a whole, like, you know, once you stop smoking, like you don't want fake cigarettes anymore. Cause you're not a smoke, you know, you're just away from that lifestyle. You want no part of it. But I guess like you said, you didn't have a problem. You just kind of stopped.
Yeah. It's not something that I would do on the regular. Like for Christmas, I got a bottle of non-alcoholic wine, and like at my friend's wedding, we'll probably have that. But it's not something that I'm like every week I'm gonna go get a bottle or anything. Cause yeah, it's just been so long since that's been a part of my lifestyle.
Right. Very good. All right. Well, Britters says she's making a shepherd's pie and staying home while being very sober. Britters is sober all the time. She also plays the drums.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things I know about Britters. Steven says many people don't drink for St. Patty's Day. No pressure, folks. See, this is what I've been saying. These Americans who take this holiday and they say, "Oh, we're going to be Irish, we're going to drink." That's who we have a problem with.
Those people.
Yeah.
But he also says he's off to the local Irish pub for Guinness and a sing song. Sing song. I love the fact that it's called sing song.
Is that karaoke?
No, it must be like your Irish tunes, you know.
Oh, okay. I thought he was saying right now he's doing that. I was like, that seems weird. They would have that going on.
You can do that right now, Stephen. That's fine. You do you.
Yeah, sing song does sound like a great time.
It does.
Yeah. If I ever visit Stephen in Ireland, that's what I want to do. Sing song.
Can we have a plant based morning show meetup in Ireland for a sing song?
Yeah, that's Stephen's parents host for a traditional Irish meal.
So.
All right. Good. Well, I think that's it. We've made it 41 minutes. A good show. Fun, interesting, different. Not quite as fast moving maybe as the plant-based morning show, but you know what? It's Friday afternoon. It's not morning time anymore. Evening into the weekend. I don't know. And it's a first try. But let us know what you think. I actually like the idea of doing more of this kind of format for these shows. But some people I think do want information and hard-hitting stuff. So, you know, if that's more your style, let us know. I'm just curious what to do with these time slots that aren't the morning show. Yeah, let us know, please.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for joining us, both of you. Any other closing thoughts?
No. Happy weekend, everybody. Happy Friday.
Happy almost St. Patrick's Day.
Happy almost St. Patrick's Day.
And Stephen has put something up in what must be Gaelic that I cannot even try to pronounce. So there it is. Enjoy it if you hear a lot. Put it on the screen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah.